Welcome to Shattering Mess, a program devoted to the most important and to the fastest growing segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are actually counterproductive, they can't be fixed. They're a waste of our time and a very poor focus of our allegiance. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines to know who is working against our interests, to understand why they are doing so. Because exposing and condemning errant and treacherous schemes isn't hateful, even when they're patriotic, even when they're religious, even when they're political. It's caring and wise. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, which means teaching, not law, because it's liberating, enriching, and empowering covenant. It's one and only covenant. Provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, it is toll-free and it's available to you anytime over the next 3 hours, 877-300-7645. The dateline is Washington. In 2004, relatives of some American citizens who were murdered, some mutilated, by terrorist attacks perpetrated by the mythical people, known as the Palestinians in Israel, sought redress in an unusual way. They filed a multi-billion dollar lawsuit against Arab Bank, the largest financial institution in Jordan, accusing it of transferring funds to Hamas and to other terrorists responsible for these kinds of attacks. A decade later, the case has provoked significant splits in the Obama administration, according to current and former officials. It obviously didn't get much traction in the Bush administration either. It pits the State Department, which wants the administration to come to the bank's aid, against the Treasury and Justice Department, which wants the government to stay out of it, to let the judicial system work. The case is scheduled to go to trial in August. You see, the problem here is that if it's a bank in a friendly country, if it's a bank, say, in Switzerland, the FBI and the CIA have demanded, and the U.S. federal government has used all possible diplomatic power to get the banks to divulge information. To reveal information because they say that any transaction with a bank that is in America or that is an ally's bank needs to be open about tax evasion and criminal activity as well as aiding and abetting terrorism. So the U.S. took Swiss Bank, for example, Swiss American Bank, and absolutely grilled it. And not only forced it to divulge all of its customer lists and transaction, but then fined it $1 billion. But when it comes to an Arab bank, Islamic interests, this administration is not so eager to be consistent. The Arab bank has asked the Supreme Court to intervene now and overturn sanctions imposed by the trial judge when the bank refused to turn over private customer records. The Supreme Court has asked whether the government thinks it should hear the case. And the Obama administration is at an impasse over what to tell justices. You know, America was created to have three branches of government. There is the president, the administration, there is Congress, and then there is the judiciary. The judiciary does not report to the administration. It ought not be asking this. The Supreme Court ought to just determine whether or not something that has been done in a lower court is constitutional or not. I mean, that's really the full extent of their purview. Is it constitutional? If it isn't something that is addressed in the Constitution and you can't make a claim as to whether or not it's constitutional, you have to just stay out of it. If the lower court has said that the bank needs to be sanctioned because it defied a court order, then you leave it alone. And it is really simple. But when you have the Supreme Court asking a presidential administration as to whether they should hear a case for potential political reasons, for State Department diplomatic reasons, then you've lost the checks and balances that the designers of this form of government intended. The lawsuit was filed in the Federal District Court in Brooklyn, known as Lindy v. Era Bank. In its current form, it focuses on the deaths of 39 Americans. The deaths of 39 Americans and the injury of 102, all perpetrated by Muslims pretending to be Palestinians in Israel. It's astonishing under these circumstances that you'd have the State Department, Kerry, and this administration tongue-lashing Israel, telling them, demanding that they give up, release these terrorists, the terrorists who perpetrated these murders, to free them from jail, so that discussions can continue that would lead to them giving up, turning over huge swaths of land to these very same terrorists. It's like we've lost our mind that after generations of political correctness in schools, we can no longer process information rationally as a nation. These Islamic murderers have killed 39 Americans and injured 102, and we want to aid and abet, even protect, those who killed them and those who financed these murders. These occurred in 24 terrorist attacks during the Second Intifada in the early 2000s. You see, the first Intifada in Israel occurred when Yasser Arafat, that was the ugly homosexual leader of the Palestinian Authority, the founder of Fatah and the PLO, the most ruthless terrorist of his day. Man died of AIDS, but he died with $1 billion that he had stolen from the West that was intended to aid and abet Arabs living in Israel. The ugly one decided that he had a real problem on his hand. His goal was to obliterate Israel. That's the PLO's stated goal, to obliterate it, wipe it off the face of the earth, kill every Jew. And he was having a real difficult situation selling that line when the Jews were being so accommodating to Muslims, allowing them to be citizens in Israel, educating them, paying for and providing world-class health care, giving them all manner of economic opportunity. And so what Yasser Arafat found himself in the midst of is that the Muslims living in Israel were the best educated Muslims in the world. They were the most prosperous Muslims in the world. They were the freest Muslims in the world. They were the healthiest Muslims in the world. And by any standard, what Israel had done for them was beneficial. And so he had a very difficult time selling his agenda. And so the plan that he conceived in the first and second Intifada was for the Muslims who were gainfully employed in the Jewish enterprises, that rather than go to work and earn a living, that they would become full-time terrorists. And they would go to the homes of their employers and murder them and kill their families, that they would blow themselves to smithereens, that the only thing that they would do is become total dependents with the United States and Europe, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, paying them and rewarding them to kill Jews. That's what the Intifada uprising was all about. The plaintiffs contend that the Jordanian bank transferred money to Hamas leaders and administered a Saudi-funded program that paid a standard benefit of $5,316 to thousands of families of people killed in the conflict with Israel, including several suicide bombers. If you were killed as a jihadist in the act of perpetrating terror against Israel. Whether you lived or whether you died, you or your survivors received $5,300 from the Saudis. Yes, these are the Saudis that President Obama kowtowed to, listening intently to, wallowing all over himself in the presence of this past week. They rewarded those who killed and maimed Americans. They rewarded those who killed and maimed Jews with $5,300 for each family of an Islamic terrorist. The State Department arguments appear to closely track those made by the government of Jordan. The U.S. State Department is become an indispensable ally of the Muslim Brotherhood. They are resolutely anti-Semitic and resolutely in support of Islam. We should not be surprised that the State Department of the United States is aiding and abetting the funding and the rewarding of Islamic terrorists who kill Americans. But it does make you question, why would anyone in their right mind be patriotic? Why would anyone pledge allegiance to the flag? Why would anyone who can think, who is moral, sing the Star Spangled Banner? Why would you vote when it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democratic administration, the State Department stays the same? The Jordanian brief said that the country is a vital ally of Secretary of State John Kerry's renewed peace efforts between Israel and Palestinians, and that it warned that the proceeding to trial under the sanctions would devastate the bank and destabilize the economies of Jordan, the Palestinian territories, and the surrounding region. Now, we're going to ponder what they meant by that statement, because what they're saying there is so horrendous, it ought to make your skin crawl, especially if you're an American. We'll be back in a moment. One of the best ways to understand what is really occurring, to know who is working against our interests, is to analyze what somebody is actually saying when they write something down. In the Jordanian brief, the country said that it was a vital ally of Secretary of State John Kerry's renewed peace efforts between Israel and the Palestinians. That means that the State Department and the Supreme Court should side with Jordan and against the dead Americans, their families, because this bank and this, which is an offshoot of the country, is politically aligned with the Secretary of State. Now, what the Secretary of State wants to do, of course, is to give Islamic terrorists their own country. Jordan is in favor of that because huge refugee camps in Jordan. And the Jordanian government has been opposed to them for many decades. And so they want a independent Palestinian state. They want Israel weakened. They're saying that we deserve not justice, but favoritism, because our interests are the same as John Kerry's interests. Now, what's really interesting is what they said next, that a proceeding to trial under the sanctions could devastate the bank and destabilize the economies of Jordan, the Palestinian territories, and the surrounding region. What they're saying is that if we are forced to divulge facts, if you actually knew the full extent of Islamic countries like Jordan and Islamic banks funding terrorists, rewarding terrorists, that John Kerry's peace plan would unravel. and that the whole claims of the Palestinians would be undone, that the world would look at them as ruthless terrorists, and it would look at the Muslims demanding that they receive their own country, making Israel indefensible, as aiding and abetting terrorists. That if the truth were known, it would not only undermine Secretary of State John Kerry's peace plan, because it would be total capitulation to terrorists, it would undermine and destabilize the entire economy of Jordan. Now, all the court is asking for is evidence of transactions with known terrorist leaders. That's all they're asking for. And if disclosing that is so devastating to the credibility of Jordan and the Palestinians and John Kerry, then all will be lost by doing so. Now you know the full scope of the problem. It's amazing that they would write such a thing. That them being forced to divulge accurate information on how complicit they have been in rewarding and aiding and abetting terrorists would bring the whole house of cards down. John Kerry, this administration, their ill-advised peace plan, the country of Jordan, the Arab Bank, the myth of a Palestinian people and their desire for statehood. That in mind, Glenn, love to hear your opinion of what appears to be reprehensible position by our State Department, by this administration, and by Jordan and the Arab Bank.
No, definitely, but $5,300 from the Saudis? Did no one tell these terrorists to buy term and invest the rest?
Yeah, I know. It is pretty amazing.
Insurance, life insurance policy.
Yeah, but you know, we've got to keep this in mind, though. Muslims, when they, while the Muslims who were integrated into the Israeli economy were quite prosperous and vastly superior in economic wealth and well-being to Muslims in any other country, unless they were part of the OPEC dole. Once they stopped working, because what happened with the Intifada is they stopped working. So they became total dependents. And at that point, they became amongst the poorest Muslims in the world. And so the entire purpose of Hamas and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait in dealing with them was to reward monetarily behavior that they wanted to see. And $5,000, once they all stopped working, oh, that was better than any of them would earn over the course of years. It was a huge incentive. We'll return in a moment. Welcome back to Saturday Miss. What the story about the Arab Bank and its role in rewarding the Islamic terrorists who have murdered and mutilated American citizens, 139 of them collectively, tells us what I have always known, that evidence and reason, facts, are in opposition to patriotism, to politics, to diplomacy. That if you know the truth, and the more of it that you know, the less supportive you're going to be of your country. That's the reality. When I was like most Americans and was patriotic, because most Americans are patriotic, they fly their flag, they pledge of allegiance, they take off their hats, they put their hand over their heart, they stand at attention, they support their troops, they engage in politics. Back at the time that I was part of these things, I was awesomely ignorant of what our government was actually doing. And then one day I was prompted to learn. I recall that day. I was still a conservative Republican, and I was given the opportunity to spend the day with George W. Bush during the time he was had announced but had not but not yet been elected just beginning his campaign to run for his first term of, as president. And I recall being horrified. I mean, just absolutely dumbfounded by the man's lack of intellect, his lack of moral fiber, his approach, his ignorance. I was just dumbfounded. And I wondered, you know, if my political party, well, I was Republican at the time, is going to nominate this man, there's something desperately wrong. And that was really the trigger point for me. And I began to study, and the more things like this that you read, where we recognize that if the Jordanian bank, the Arab bank that's part of Jordan, releases accurate information about the transactions that they have engaged in to support and reward the terrorists who are killing Americans, that the whole house of cards that is American diplomacy and politics falls apart. And you come to recognize that your government is grotesquely immoral. It's on the wrong side. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter if it's the invasion of Iraq, which was based on a pile of lies, or the invasion of Afghanistan, it too, on a pile of lies, where America made both situations vastly worse and actually led to the Syrian war. Doesn't matter the topic. It's always the same.
Okay, so let me see if I have this right. Yeshua Arafat's methodology enabled him to line his own pockets, impoverish Israeli Muslims, get Americans killed, and get the American government to back all this.
Yes, in fact, rewarded with his own state. Yeah.
Wow, that double chin wonder was smarter than I thought. Maybe that cloth chest 40 worn his head really did help.
Maybe so. Yeah, it says one of two things. Either the opposition in being able to perpetrate such a fraud is far smarter than we're giving them credit, or those that they are defrauding are much dumber than we think they are. Or, I guess there's a third option, isn't there? That America really isn't stupid, that its diplomats aren't stupid, that they're just evil.
Yeah, and abysmally cowardly.
Oh, abysmally. Yeah. You know, when it became fashionable to embrace Islam and to disassociate the religion from the terrorist acts that it commits, because Muslims, if you do the wrong thing, like, for example, the University of Illinois and the University of Michigan, and you don't air a film that reveals that 250 million little girls have been mutilated by their mothers, and that this is a chronic problem in Islam, if you don't have the courage to do the right thing there, oh, you are hailed as an enlightened individual. You're rewarded for that. But if you have the courage to show it, then you are a Neanderthal that needs to be exposed and condemned. Yeah, we've so orchestrated the media and politics and debate within, conversation within this country, that the cowards are considered enlightened, appropriate. And those with the courage to tell the truth, they are demeaned and publicly crucified.
Oh, Americans will come out of the woodwork by the thousands and use the media to crucify a baker who doesn't want to cater a homosexual wedding,
right,
or a photographer who doesn't. They will crucify them.
Right. Right.
But this problem, which maims and permanently damages, you know, these millions of women, they won't make mention of.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is asking the administration as to whether or not they should hear a case that is directly akin to supporting the murder and mutilation of Americans. and that where the information will show that the Arab Bank is complicit. And that's what their court brief says, that, you know, we're complicit. And if we are forced to prove that we are complicit, the evidence, if we have to release the evidence which proves that we're complicit, the whole thing falls apart. The State Department, U.S. policy, the argument that there's a real people called the Palestinians and that these terrorists deserve a state, the whole thing falls apart. Is the position, and man, you know, why is it that every American hearing that wouldn't say, "Oh my God, why are we even in this position?"
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think one of the operative principles behind all this stuff is the change in philosophy over the 20th century. From deontological ethics to consequentialist ethics, this notion that the ends justify the means. Once you have embraced that,
right,
the sky's the limit in terms of lies and manipulation.
Yeah, and that is the moral code that permeates America. You probably know that that the ends justify the means is the central pillar of a book that Machiavelli wrote instruct Italians as to how to be effective popes. It's called The Prince, and The Prince was written to instruct Italians as to how to be an effective pope. And what Machiavelli concluded is that while it is superior to be loved than it is to be feared, love is very difficult to obtain, and it has it's very ineffective in control. Fear is extraordinarily easy to achieve, and it is totally effective. And he says, so if you're going to be pope and you want to be effective, you need to be ruthless. And he said, because the institution will benefit by you being ruthless, the ends, in other words, justify the means. So it's a Machiavellian principle. I would encourage all people of good conscience to read The Prince. The interesting thing is that the ends justify the means, along with Shin Tzu's "The enemy of my enemy is my friend," permeate political correctness. It's been incorporated wholesale into the academic agenda of the American education system.
The modern justification is strictly, you know, Skinner, behavioral psychology and conditioning, you know, carrot and stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they thought they made it scientific.
Yeah, that's true. So your point is a little different than the point that I'm making. I'm looking at the root as to how it came to be. It's kind of my nature. I always want to go to the root of things.
Yeah.
What you're explaining is the mass response. What you're saying is that since Muslims harass and kill those who speak out against them, doing anything that is non-patriotic, non-political, telling, like, for example, emphasizing the truth and exposing and condemning the malfeasance of one's government, is the response to those who do that is to be whacked, to be publicly crucified and humiliated, and the response to those who go along with the program and simply, puppets, play along, is that they are rewarded, that society as a whole has been conditioned never to walk against the crowd, never to put their head above the crowd, never to bow their back and take a stand, but to simply go along.
And I would, Machiavelli's, you know, Prince is certainly, somewhat more modern European expression. I would suggest this. These principles go back far, you know, before then. And actually, even in the Torah, Psalms, and prophets, you know, look at all the, you know, look at God calling the prophets to stand courageously, you know,
right,
and speak his truth, even in spite of the consequences, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yashiah found out the hard way that even when you have the mantle of a prophet and speak God's truth, you know, you gain your eternal reward, but sometimes you get sawn in half.
You know I would change that from even when to everyone who.
Yeah,
it's universal. If you are willing to take Yahweh's position, if you're willing to convey his testimony, you will be treated exactly as Yahusha was treated. Mankind didn't treat him very well, did we?
I meant Isaiah, you know, when he was torn in half by Manasseh.
Right. I know. And all I was doing is saying that the treatment of Yahusha was similar. You look at even Moshe. Now, Moshe came down with the two tablets etched by God in stone. He not only went up and Yahweh dictated the Torah to him to affirm that it was really God who did it. God recited the same Torah in his voice before the children of Israel, and his brother tried to do him in. You know, they had a coup against him. I mean, yeah, it's you're going to be really unpopular if you side with Yahweh. We'll be back in a moment. There is another issue related to the Jordanian Arab Bank that I mentioned briefly, but here's a comment from an expert on the issue. To say that this Lebanese and Jordanian information is protected by secrecy laws would be contrary to what's going on in the Department of Justice and the IRS. I understand why the DOJ and IRS would be very unhappy about all of this. In other words, with our friends, with the banks that America has influence over, we have forced them to say that you can't have secrecy. You can't hide the names of your depositors or conceal transactions from us. We as America demand that you have total transparency and that you give our IRS and Department of Justice all of your clients' names, all of their account information, all of their financial transactions, so that we can use that information to prosecute them. But with the Arab Bank, when the judge is saying this is vital evidence in this case to find out whether or not the Arab Bank has in fact been aiding and abetting funding Islamic terrorism that has killed 39 Americans and mutilated over 100 more. Now the Obama administration, the State Department, says, no, you can't use it if it's associated with Arabs. Pure hypocrisy. It's a wonder that a government this hypocritical continues to prevail. Why do people support it? Why would you walk around or drive around town with an Obama bumper sticker on the back of your car? Have you lost all pretense of morality? Have you been rendered incapable of recognizing that you ought not defend hypocrisy? There's a related subject, Glenn, that comes from Turkey. The Erdogan government has started blocking access to all social media. They control access to the internet, and they block all manner of websites. Like Prophet of Doom is blocked. In fact, Muslims in Turkey routinely seek to take it offline. They do all sorts of denial of service attacks on it. It's become just a nightmare to keep Prophet of Doom up. Well, now they're blocking social media between Turks who are sharing information that devastates Erdogan's credibility. You know, they have posted on YouTube proof that Erdogan and his sons skimmed money, that they confiscated money, and that they used their political power to accept bribes. And now they have proven that Erdogan has tried to maneuver Turkey so that he can use his army to wage war against Syria. And so the response is shut down the communication mediums. Make it a crime to communicate truth.
Yeah, that's quite crazy. But the Russians got around that. You know, and their breakup, all the Soviets, use fax machines. There'll always be some, there will always evolve some means of disseminating information.
And it becomes harder. It becomes harder and harder, though, and it becomes a greater and greater risk. Now, I agree that the one of the benefits of the internet is that it can evolve in the sense of if you shut down one site, there's another site that will communicate the same information. Like with Prophet of Doom, well, the Prophet of Doom's site is attacked all the time by Muslims because they can't deal with the truth. There are probably 200 other sites in the world that carry the book. And so there are ways to do it. Social media, though, has become a huge and very effective means of people who have grievances against their government to being able to share those. But, you know, the problem is that the governments look at it as treasonous for you to expose their malfeasance. And so, you know, they have labeled as enemies those who are doing such things, and governments like the United States are spying on your every click. Every time you click on anything, if you are one of the few individuals that is willing to raise your head above the crowd and say, you know, there's a real problem with your military, with your bankers, with your economy, with your politicians, and with your religious leaders, you ought not be supporting them. You ought to reject them. You ought to recognize that they aren't worthy of your support. Those individuals, everything they do is watched, and they will be framed, and they will ultimately be incarcerated.